always locked on heat. Biscayne, South Beach, Goldberg and Ramil. Talking heat, body chill. Got the stats in the news. Got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on heat. Got it locked on heat. Always locked on heat. Keep it locked on heat. Seat geek for the cheap. What's the day got the heat?
And now, your locked on heat hopes. Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a writer at the Step Back and Miami Heat Tip Off Mag. I'm here as always with credentialed NBA writer David Ramil. We are here recapping the Heat's 117-105 loss to the Spurs. We're going to talk about the Heat trying out a new starting lineup. We'll get to your Twitter comments and questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. And we're going to look at our spotlight players of the game. But let's start there, David, with the new starting lineup. Miami came out and did what you and I talked about in the preview. What we thought that they might do is switch things up as far as lineups go. They came out with a starting unit of Goran Dragic, Deion Waiters, and Josh Richardson, so no changes there. But in the front court, that was new. James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk get to start over Justice Winslow and recently starting Bam Adebayo, who's been starting in place of an injured Hassan Whiteside. And you and I speculated about this in our preview of the Spurs game that, look, Winslow and Bam, they might not match up size-wise with LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol. I guess Eric Spoelstra listened to our podcast because he was like, hey, those guys make a really good point. I'm going to start James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, Johnson, you know, handled the bulk of the defensive capabilities or responsibilities, rather, on LaMarcus Aldridge in their first matchup. So that he got the nod again today, starting at power forward. And Olynyk matched up pretty well against Pau Gasol. You know, we had talked about maybe Bam continuing to start at center or maybe handle the power forward slot, you know, either one of those being able to switch off. But I guess Spoelstra still felt a little uncomfortable trusting the rookie to you know, rein in some of his defensive tendencies, maybe get into foul trouble early, you know, rather bring him off the bench since they're not particularly deep at center or power forward. So it made a lot of sense. And it worked at first. In the first half, it seemed like they were really both engaged, and they played pretty well defensively on Aldridge and Gasol.
Yeah, I was really impressed with how James Johnson in particular played offensively in those first 9 minutes before he came out just due to rotations. He played really well, and I thought that the Heat sort of stumbled onto something there because, look, James Johnson, we know, kind of maybe not preferred but thrived in that bench role for a long time, and then he wasn't so much, you know? And I think part of that is because defenses are now keying in on his point forwardness, and that's not, it's not so novel as it once was, and it's not as unexpected. It's part of, and this has been written about recently by beat reporters, that he's now part of the scouting report, you know, and that's the first time in his career he's ever been part of a scouting report. You know, usually it's just like, hey, James Johnson, he shoots threes from the corner occasionally. Now he's really involved in that, and opponents are scouting for him. But as a part of the starting unit, he was able to play off the ball a lot more, and I thought that really helped him. He started the game making two straight or two early three-pointers, and then he got to the line for some free throws on another attempt really early in the game, and that was because Goran Dragic was able to sort of create for him. Him and Deion Waiters were creating for James Johnson. So you take the ball out of James Johnson's hands, and all of a sudden he's able to do a few other things, and he was attacking guys off the dribble on closeouts and doing all that stuff. And I thought he really became a good outlet for that team, and he's a better three-point shooter. He's not a stellar three-point shooter, but he's much better than Justice Winslow is, and I thought that helped open up the offense a little bit more, not to mention Kelly Olynyk starting at center. But I was really impressed with the way he played in the first 9 minutes. Unfortunately, he got into foul trouble, and he just wasn't able to really be as aggressive as he usually wants to be, or really even just like be on the floor a whole lot. He only played 24 minutes tonight.
Yeah, really bizarre. He seems like he's such a rhythm player, right? I mean, for a guy who's been mostly a journeyman and really hasn't been able to establish a rhythm anywhere, it seems like he's almost dependent on being able to get into that kind of comfortable rhythm. and stay in that place. The foul trouble completely took him out of it.
It's not the first time that he's had foul trouble as a starter, right? We saw this a lot in the preseason.
That's right. And consequently, he's had, troubles getting engaged after that. When the foul trouble takes him out of that rhythm, it's hard for him. But at first, when he was starting, and like you said, without foul trouble early on, felt really smooth with the ball, knocked down those three shooters with no hesitation, something we saw from him earlier in the season. And he just looked really, really engaged. And then, did a good job on Aldridge again, with switching off a number of times, fronted him on occasion, just made life more difficult for a guy who's used to scoring within the paint or unleashing that deadly turnaround shot. So really nice showing from Johnson early on.
I wouldn't walk away from this. I know that – I'm looking at my Twitter feed right now, and it looked like a lot of people are upset with James Johnson's game. And he got into foul trouble, and that sucks, right? But when he was on the floor, he was really good. I wouldn't walk away from starting James Johnson. Maybe you corral him, say, hey, look, don't take the dumb fouls. Let the guy just get to the rim for a dunk. I know that's like against your nature, but just let it happen. It's not worth picking up that foul, because the Heat really needed him in there for at least 30 minutes tonight, right? And he only played 24. They needed him a lot more. Aldridge played 33 minutes. He played almost 10 more minutes than James Johnson. Like you just said, James Johnson did the best job on Aldridge, right? Aldridge really got going there. And they did an okay job on him in the first half, but really started to get going in the third quarter when James Johnson basically committed a foul within the first several seconds of the third quarter and then was out for the remainder of the quarter. And Aldridge really started going,
Yeah, absolutely. I would personally. I don't think Spoelstra will. I think he changed his lineup based on the size mismatch there. He recognized that their huge front court needed a change from Miami's lineup, so I think he'll probably go for something a little bit more traditional, or just go back to the lineup.
Do you think he'll keep Olynyk at center?
Starting at center, you know what? That's an interesting one, because I think he was really effective, and you started to see that Bam is comfortable either as a starter, as he has been over the last couple games, or coming off the bench. Either way, he's found a nice rhythm there. I think you could see some lineups where him and James Johnson come off the bench if you keep Olynyk in there starting alongside Justice Winslow. I could see that being the case.
So the Nets, they play the Nets next on Saturday. They don't have a huge front court. They do have Heat Killer Hall of Famer Trevor Booker starting at power forward.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I wonder if they will. I think he goes with it. I just think he does it one more time to see what James Johnson can do in a game that maybe he doesn't have foul trouble. I hope, at least that, maybe I'm it's wishful thinking, but all right, next we're going to get to your Twitter questions, but first, Locked On Heat still has inventory for sponsorships this season. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. Say you own a sports bar or a sports memorabilia store, maybe you're a real estate agent, maybe you're a contractor in the area, and you're unhappy with the traditional advertising that you're using online or in print. Know that podcast listeners, they're 65% more likely to engage with advertisers. Locked On Heat listeners are generally male, about 96%, and between the ages of 18 and 45. Our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so it's an efficient use of your time and your money. For more information on rates and next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company right here on the show. All right, our spotlight players are coming up, but we've got some of your Twitter questions to get to. Thanks to everyone, as always, who sent comments in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. We're going to try to get to a couple of them here. First one comes from Josh Elliott. He says, I'm tired of losing. Josh, I think you were sending that in tongue-in-cheek. Probably didn't expect us to use that for the show. But look, I think we can riff on this, David. I'm tired of losing too, man. Look, you look at the schedule, and you look at who Miami is losing to. And you can't, you look one at a time, and you can't really fault them for many of these losses, right? The Spurs are maybe the fourth best team in the NBA, third, fourth best team in the NBA. In San Antonio, you're probably losing that game. If you just, going one by one. You're losing to the Warriors almost every time. You're losing to the Cavaliers almost every time. The Knicks loss, that was bad just because it was such a blowout, but, whatever. They beat the Hornets. Outside of those games, and before that, they were on a three-game win streak. So it sucks that they're losing this much, but also this is a tough stretch, right?
Yeah. I mean, it does suck, but at the same time, you're absolutely right. These are some losses that you can kind of chalk up to being very difficult mismatches against Miami. And, look, their record is still 11-13 even after tonight's loss. That's as many games as they won in the whole first half of last season. It's not as bad. Maybe you expected them to be on a, I don't know, different tear at this point. Maybe keep some of that continuity from that three-game win streak. Yeah. But it's not that it's not that bad, right? Is it that difficult? You know, having them lose against Golden State, having them lose against Cleveland, you know, on a back-to-back, that Knicks loss was tough. But you know, again, it was a back-to-back set. Yeah. You know, I think the problem is not necessarily the losing. I think it's the inconsistency. You never know what version of this team you're going to see on a nightly basis. You know, they played very tough against San Antonio and then kind of seemed to fall apart in the fourth quarter. And that's, I think, what draws the ire out of fans. It's, you know, not knowing whether or not you're going to get consistent play out of Deion Waiters on a night like tonight when Goran Dragic struggled as much as he did. For a guy who's been our most consistent scorer to have the kind of night he did, when it wasn't really due to any kind of spectacular defense on San Antonio's end, I think he was just missing shots that he normally has made. That's kind of frustrating to watch. So I think that's part of it, is that you just want more consistent effort. If they're going to lose some because, you know, if they're going to lose by 5 points or something, well, you know what? Those things happen. But that's a lot more tolerable to handle.
You know, I think there's parts of this. Miami, they shot 54% against San Antonio. The offense was humming. You know what I mean? Like, the offense was playing really well. Defensively, they didn't have their best game. You know, I think that this was one of those games where the shooting was a little contagious. Both teams were just shooting really well and kept shooting. But San Antonio did get 54 paints in the point. Hassan Whiteside would have helped there. They got, 21 points off of turnovers. Miami committed way too many turnovers, but you got to give credit to the Spurs. They're very good at that. That's why they're one of the best defenses in the league. So, but let's look at the schedule coming up. Look, we were just talking about this is a tough stretch. Saturday, they're at Brooklyn. They get a night off, and they play Memphis on Monday. They get Portland at home, and then they're at Charlotte. The next four games are very winnable. Like, every one of those games are winnable. Like I was saying, you go one by one, Golden State, San Antonio, New York Knicks on the second night of a back-to-back. You those are schedule losses. Like, the Cavaliers, those are schedule losses. But these next four games are almost schedule wins. You know, I don't want to jinx the team here, but they're, with the exception of Portland, who they're fortunately getting at home, they could win all four of these games, you know?
Absolutely, and I think they should. I think this will be a good test, a good barometer for what this team actually
is. They play the Clippers after Charlotte, and they're bad.
Ah, yeah. This is the Western Coast teams kind of making, their East Coast trip here, because both those teams are actually in town next week to face the Magic as well. I guess they just traveled 3.5 hours south to face Miami afterwards. So they'll probably be a little tired. They should be really good. I mean, Portland has been an inconsistent team. The Clippers are obviously injury ravaged. You'd like to see Miami pull it together now. Even with Whiteside out of the lineup, I think they still have more than enough talent, and they're getting some really good production from Adebayo and Olynyk. I mean, I think both of them really showed that they have different skills to offer, and they've made a positive impact. So, I think just have patience, because I think they'll probably be able to pull together a nice winning stretch over the next few games, and then that'll change the narrative completely in the other direction.
They're gonna win that Grizzlies game by like 30 points. They're doing it for Fizz, man. They're gonna do it for Fizz.
Conley's still out. Gasol, who knows what'll happen?
Yeah.
He can't match up well with Olynyk or Adebayo. I'm curious to see how that would go.
All right, we got one more. Let's try to do this quickly. Squeeze it into our spotlight players. Yeah. You kind of touched on this a little bit anyway. So, do you see anything in particularly wrong with Goran Dragic other than a case of the clanks? Single digits in 4 out of the last 5. Frustrating with Josh Richardson and now Tyler Johnson coming out of their own funks, using the hashtag AskLOHeat that comes from Jeff on Twitter. So what do you think? And I'm going to touch on Dragic a little bit later, but is it just a case of the clanks? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything a concern. He doesn't appear injured. We haven't heard any kind of scuttle about an injury or anything like that. I think he missed shots that he normally would make. There was in the fourth quarter, he took a mid-range shot from about 8-9 feet away, clanked off the back of the rim. That's a shot that's normally butter for Dragic. It's unfortunate. Maybe he lost a little confidence there after starting off so shaky. You know, finished 0 of 2 from 3-point range, 3 of 11 overall from the field. you know, and was turning the ball over uncustomarily. You know, there was a ball there where he crossed over on Patty Mills and then tried arguing to the ref as it dribbled away from him into the backcourt, slowly walked over to the ball and then argued that it was knocked out by Mills when, you know, replays clearly show he just... Yeah, he just dribbled it away. It's
not the
really
first time Dragic has done that. He's a liar. Like, when it comes to the refs. And he's not unique in that way, but.
No, I know, but a lot of people. I've noticed that. It's tough because I think there are a number of times when he gets fouled and they don't call it. And then, you know, consequently, he also argues when he doesn't get fouled.
He's getting visibly frustrated. Like, we've seen him punch or kick the stanchion a couple times in the last few games, like visibly frustrated, taking it out on the refs, like where he misses a shot and he thinks he's fouled and probably was, but at this point he should know better. He's not getting any foul calls ever. Like, he is visibly frustrated. So I'm not sure it's just, I think the frustration is born from his clankiness, the case of the clanks, as Jeff eloquently put it. And now I think it's just like, I think it is. I mean, the Heat, they've suffered from a case of the clanks for several times, or for several games at a time. But I think it's almost a vicious circle with Dragic. I think, you know, he is just in a regular slump that's nothing novel or new. And then he gets frustrated, and that gets him in his head. And so the slump just kind of continues, and it turns into this vicious circle. I think he's just frustrated. He might be in his head a little bit. All right, thanks to everybody, as always, for sending in those comments / questions using the hashtag AskLOHeat. You could do that after every game that falls on a weeknight, and we'll try to get to as many as possible. We're gonna key in on a couple of standout performances next, but quick reminder, make sure you subscribe to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, and remember to leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other Heat fans discover the show, and we really appreciate it. Also, be sure to check out what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team, plus Locked On Fantasy Basketball, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, David, who's your spotlight player of the game?
Well, I kind of hinted at it earlier, but I was really impressed with Bam Adebayo. Finished with just 18 minutes of play, just 6 points on 3 of 4 shooting. A total of 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and 2 turnovers. Not a particularly great game, but still an impressive showing. I'm slowly coming around on Adebayo. Maybe I never really lost faith in the first place, but since he wasn't playing much, it's kind of, you kind of get a little soured on Miami drafting him so high if he's not going to play. And I saw a lot of concerns like that from other members of Heat Twitter and stuff like that. So it's understandable, but just watching him play, he really is a very, very good defensive player. There were moments there where he just shut down Aldridge. He bodied him up completely, and then when Aldridge tried to get off the turnaround jumper as the shot clock expired, Adebayo just packed him. He just blocked him right in his face. That was impressive. He held his own against Gasol. He probably could have started too. I don't know if maybe it would have been more effective to start him at power forward, and then maybe Johnson would have eliminated some of that foul trouble that took him out of his rhythm, because Adebayo only played 18 minutes anyway. So maybe if you start him, he shuts down Aldridge early on, then James Johnson comes in off the bench and kind of gets engaged and not necessarily in foul trouble because he doesn't have to guard Aldridge. It's something to consider, and I think we're starting to see a little bit more evolution from him in his rookie season. It's the kind of progress we had hoped that he would make when he was sitting down during those early stretches of the season. And we talked about this in our most recent mailbag, I think. We're going to have to figure out a way for him to get consistent playing time, even when Whiteside returns to the lineup.
His progress is better than expected, better than what we hoped for. I mean, this is a guy that's shutting down LeBron James, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Pau Gasol, LaMarcus Aldridge on individual, not shutting down for whole games, but on individual possessions, and those are the type of flashes you want to see. I don't care what his plus minus is or his offensive rating or anything like that. I don't even care about his field goal percentage necessarily. What I want to see from a rookie is flashes, and he's got flashes, right? He's going to be mostly a net negative. Most rookies are. It's nothing against him. It's just a fact of the NBA. But he's showing great flashes, and I tweeted this during the game. He might already be a better all-around defender than Hassan Whiteside, and I don't know if that's a stretch. I'm not 100% confident in that opinion. I just said might be. I think the defense is better when Whiteside is in there because it's built around Whiteside. It's built for somebody like a rim protector like Whiteside. But in a vacuum, Bam Adebayo does way more things defensively well than Whiteside does already. And
I think that's pretty accurate. I don't think that's arguable, really. I mean, as an individual defender, Adebayo is much more skilled. I mean, we've seen Whiteside as a weak side help defender block shots, impact shots at the rim. Those are the things that he can do with his incredible length. And again, based on the defensive schemes that Spoelstra has implemented, as you hinted, you know, I think that's those blocks, just like points at certain points in the game. You know, that's what stimulates fans. You see those blocks, especially with the history of Miami Heat fans watching Alonzo Mourning, Shaquille O'Neal, et cetera. I think you just get used to having a shot blocking center in there. But there are still gaps in Whiteside's game. And I think as an individual defender, particularly on the perimeter, he's nowhere near as skilled as Adebayo is, who's still just a 20-year-old rookie. So that's a great showing from him. Look, I still have concerns from Adebayo offensively. He sets really good screens, something that mm-hmm. we don't see a lot from Whiteside. He passes the ball. He moves the ball around. I don't think he necessarily passes it out of the post because he's not really getting a lot of touches in the low post. But he still seems really, really shaky offensively. Like, part of what you and I liked about him after the selection was made and going and seeing the workout video, and even what we saw in Summer League, was how fluid he looked offensively. We haven't seen those flashes. Not a lot, anyway. They've been very, very, very rare. And that's a concern because I still want him to be a lot more impactful offensively. Having said that, that was a hell of a dunk he had on Davis Bertans, man. He crushed it.
My spotlight player is Tyler Johnson. Played 30 minutes tonight. Ended the game in place of Goran Dragic, who we already talked about, struggled in the game. Having Tyler Johnson in there at the end of the game, he scored 25 points, 9 of 12 shooting, 5 of 8 from three-point range. He had 2 assists. He only had 1 turnover, which is nice. That's the Tyler Johnson that we know and love, is high efficiency, low turnovers, even though this season he's been committing a few more turnovers. This was a vintage Tyler Johnson game. It was great to see him just be alive again, you know. But having him at the end of that game, look, you look at the guys who struggled and the guys who played well. Dragic, obviously, he struggles. Deion Waiters, he's got his 22 points. Josh Richardson, a really nice game, 19 points. Richardson is getting to that point where you're starting to pencil him in for 10 plus points a game. He seems to have found his rhythm here. And between Dragic and Waiters, you expect one of them to score 20, right? That's just kind of how this team is built. Tyler Johnson, him having that game is what kept Miami in this game with a much better San Antonio Spurs team, right? And it's the sort of thing that this team is built on. And it's what, and a lot of these losses and so much of the season, they just haven't had, right? You look at guys like Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington, Deion Waiters, James Johnson, Justice Winslow. You just want one of these guys on a game-to-game basis to just sort of step up and deliver 15 plus points just to keep Miami in it or get them a win. And Tyler Johnson was that guy tonight. But I'll say this, not having Goran Dragic in there at the end of the game, I think, is what also hurt the Heat. He obviously wasn't playing well, and Spoelstra was right for not playing him because he just was not playing well. But when Dragic isn't playing well, it's not only the points that they're missing, it's the entire offense. Nobody initiates the offense as well as Goran Dragic does. Not even Tyler Johnson on a night where he's like this. Nobody just runs the offense as well. And that's why Miami, they end up just kind of stumbling over their own feet in the fourth quarter, and why ultimately they lost to San Antonio. It's just all those turnovers. And those are things that just don't happen as often when Goran Dragic is in the game. Goran Dragic is Miami's most important player and just will be this season. And when he's not playing well, they just don't have a shot at winning games. I mean, we got that Twitter comment earlier. 3 out of the last 4 games, or it's really 4 out of the last 5 games now, fewer than 10 points. And they've lost 3 of those games. So, yeah,
not a coincidence there.
Yeah.
About Tyler, he just looked really confident with his shot today. Yeah. Like something we hadn't seen from him consistently at the start of the season. But it seemed like he was just rising up early in the shot clock, even if there was a defender on him, from behind the three-point line, well behind it. He wasn't scared of taking that shot and it showed. 5 of 8 from three-point range. That's a hell of a showing for him.
And he didn't need James Johnson either, right? Johnson started.
Right, yeah. On the flip side, though, how sad is it that we can't possibly get a player to score over 30 points per game? When was the last time we had a 30 or 35 point per game score?
I don't know. Maybe Dragic has done it twice. Like, not this season, but...
Yeah. Like, can we get like a 40 point showing out of somebody on this team? It's just not the way the team is built, right?
There's just nobody that's...
capable of it.
there's nobody that's just... Look, Bradley Beal just scored 51 points to the Wizards, and in his post-game comments, he was basically like, I stopped trying to make plays for other people, and I just looked to get my shot. I think that's what it would have to take. It would take, like, Dragic or Waiters basically saying, the hell with this ball movement stuff. I'm just going to get mine, because there's not a lot of guys that could score 30 points and also be part of, a, like, a good offense. And there are, like, James Harden, LeBron James, those guys could do it, you know? Like, Steph Curry could do it in his sleep, but he just don't have a player that is like that, you know?
Mitchell would have been nice.
Donovan Mitchell would have been nice. All right, well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions for next week and inquire about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play to get podcasts automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
Yeah, it was.